Hey guys, good morning. God bless you. Thanks again for joining us in this online campus experience. I know this has been an uncomfortable season for a lot. We don't prefer this. We would rather be together. And I'm actually going to talk about that at the end of this message and bring you up to speed on what that might look like for us as we move towards regathering. But you kind of notice that we're outside today instead of inside the studio. And that's on purpose because I felt like I needed a change. I felt like I needed to kind of get out of that space. And most of us do because it helps us. Some of you have probably maybe started taking walks. Some of you have started going places that you didn't go before because you got to get out of the space that you've been in over the last 8 to 10 weeks. Well, it's a good thing for us to do that because it helps condition us to the fact that God is using always changing circumstances around us to produce good things in us. And that's what we're doing right now in this message series called A Like It or Not. And the reason I called it that is because we're obviously in circumstances and situations right now that we don't like. But here's the good thing, God can do things in this that actually produce joy. That's what the word biati means. That's where we get the word beatitudes from. And that's the space that we're in right now is talking about the beatitudes. Biati actually means happy, joyful. And it's strange because Jesus sat his disciples down and started talking about it. And it's more than just the 12. He had many, many disciples. Maybe hundreds of people were at this message on the hillside. And Jesus starts sharing what feel like disconnected thoughts. But he starts talking about areas of pressure, areas of discomfort, areas of pain, areas of loss in our life. And he says, you'll be happy when you experience this because. And then he gives this thing in which God does something unique and powerful in that moment. And so you and I should actually be sort of celebrating the kind of pressure and discomfort we feel in this season because it means God has the capacity and the space to work in our lives. So we're going to go to Matthew 5, 6. Pull out your notes, pull out your Bibles if you don't already have those out. And let me read this from the Amplified Version. I really liked it in the Amplified Version. And it says, blessed or blessed, happy, beati, joyful are you, joyful or nourished by God's goodness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And that means those who actively seek right standing with God. That's what righteousness means. For they will be completely satisfied. Let me just kind of read it flowing together again. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For they will be satisfied. Now, righteousness is sort of one of those words that gets a really bad rap. It's got a bad reputation. And you and I get an immediate disconnect from the word righteousness because it has these negative connotations for this reason. When you hear somebody talk about somebody else who is maybe feels like they're morally superior, then they're called self-righteous. So the times that we do hear the word righteous, it's sort of always a critical, you're self-righteous. You think you're morally superior to everyone else. But here's kind of the good news, that in the insult, there's truth. Here's what I mean. In order for there to be a bad self-righteousness, there has to be a good righteousness that exists outside of us, an authentic righteousness that exists outside of us, right? And here's what righteousness is. It is simply being in right relationship with God. And that's why maybe we look at each other sometimes and we recognize that certain behaviors don't exemplify right relationship with God. God would look at our lives and go, there is no way, there's no way I approve that. You know I don't approve that. So for you and I to be in right relationship with God, we have to get it right in our minds first because what we believe turns into how we behave. Okay, so pull your notes out if you don't already have them out. To get into my right or righteous mind, to start right here and let righteousness grow in my mind, I have to learn that, number one, hunger and thirst come from having an empty stomach. Now, I put that in quotation marks because I don't mean the literal stomach. Now, I don't need to explain the concept of hunger and thirst to you. Everybody already gets the concept of hunger and thirst. As a matter of fact, I would imagine that if I speak long enough, or we added a bunch of songs onto this service, or we just filled it up with a bunch of extra things, and we made the service nice and long, and you got started about 10:45 and 11 o'clock watching, that at some point, your hunger would cry out to you, and you would just push the stop button. You would just click the stop button, stop listening. You'd get up, make yourself a sandwich, have some Fritos, and be on with your day, because hunger is a very, very compelling motivator. Hunger is a very powerful motivator. Now, we're very in touch with our physical hunger. Our hunger speaks to us and we respond to it. Lisa and I have loved getting to go back out and eat in restaurants together, but we've also had a lot of meetings. She has her own meetings, I have my meetings. And if one of us happens to be running late in our meetings around lunchtime, the other one just starts texting and saying, "I'm hungry, wrap it up," because we are motivated to feed that hunger. Now, I will tell you that in virtually no other way are we that responsive to our hunger. Here's what I mean. There are empty spots, empty stomachs in our life, spiritually empty stomach, maritally empty stomach, financially empty stomach, emotionally empty stomach, that have cried out, but we don't have the same level of sensitivity. So we have all these empty stomachs in our life, mostly spiritual, because that's where all health flows from, and we're not being nearly as responsive, okay? So there's 1,000 areas that we need to feed, but we haven't been feeling those hunger pains like we should. So here's a big truth that you and I have to realize. Whether we see our hunger or not, God knows us better than we know ourselves and knows our hunger. Okay, so listen to this passage of scripture. We desperately need to feed our souls, and that's why Psalm 14:2-3 says this. The eternal God leans over from heaven to survey the sons of Adam. That's us, everybody who's a descendant of Adam. No one is missed and no one can hide. Every single one of us God identifies. He searches to see who understands true wisdom, who has a right mind, who desires to know the true God, right? Righteous mind. They all, everybody say all, right where you're sitting, turn to somebody right next to you, turn to your kids, shake them and say all. They all turn their backs, walking their own roads. I love this line. They are rancid, leaving a trail of rotten footsteps behind them. Not one of them does good, not even one. Oh my gosh, could there be a more descriptive a portrait of how bad you and I left on our own, how we completely lack any sense of personal righteousness. In other words, we are spiritually empty. Our stomachs spiritually are completely empty. There is nothing in us. There is no substantive food inside of us that makes us righteous. Now, the reason it's so easy for us to turn our backs on God is because we are completely unaware sometimes of the fact that we need God's righteousness in our lives. The reason that we're unaware of it is this. We have a sense of self-righteousness. What I mean is that you and I can fill our lives with doing good things, thinking good thoughts, posting good things, giving our kids good things. And so when we do good things, or we think good thoughts, or we say good things, we think that that originates in us, and we think that we are in fact sort of building our righteous home. We sort of feel like we're filling ourselves up with righteousness. Jesus dispels that deception in this passage in Matthew 5:20. It says this, "For I tell you this, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven unless your righteousness goes deeper than the Pharisees." Now, the Pharisees were religious experts. They knew everything about ancient scripture. The Old Testament is what we would call it. They knew everything about God's law, and they were meticulous in keeping God's law. They kept every law. They would criticize everybody else for not keeping God's law. They were judges. They were critical. They would look at the law and they would be able to measure how all these other people had not kept the law, but they were experts in not only knowing the law, but keeping the law. And Jesus said, unless your righteousness goes deeper than the Pharisees, even more righteous than the most learned learner of the law. You and I don't inherit the kingdom of heaven unless we learn that righteousness doesn't originate in us, and that rule keeping and doing right things and thinking right things and saying the right things don't make us right. And that leads us to the second thing. To get into my righteous mind, I have to learn that number two, fullness, to be filled up, comes from what I know about who I know. Let me say it again. Fullness comes from what I know about who I know. So we are a unbelievably well-informed society. And by that, I mean there is information at your fingertips 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can get onto any news station 24 hours a day. There is no lack of information, but we are more knowledge and wisdom deprived than we've ever been before. I mean, there is a higher level of real ignorance than there has ever been before. Because it doesn't matter how much information you and I have. We have all the information we could ever want about anything we could ever want to know about. Here's the problem. It all depends on what you and I do, how we apply that knowledge, and how it transforms our life. What does the information do to change you? And I got to be honest with you, I've seen a lot of people who really respond venomously and with anger and despair and frustration and pain and pushback and vitriol at information that's coming out right now. There's a lot of stuff happening in the news that's absolutely heartbreaking. Some injustices that have happened recently that deserve to be addressed. And you can see that information provokes a reaction in us. My question is, do you and I use the same level of passion, the same level of hatred for our own sin when God calls out that we're broken, that we're corrupt spiritually, that we have broken His heart, that we steal from Him, that we treat each other poorly? Do we respond with that same kind of passion? So check this out. I'm a person who has a weird relationship with information. And by that I mean, my mind seems to be able to retain completely useless and stupid information. I have an uncanny ability to remember the most bizarre, stupid information. But my mind tends to respond by going, oh, this is useless. You're never going to need this. Let me put this in the top drawer so that you can remember it anytime that you want. And then when it comes to things that I go, oh man, I need to remember this person's name. I need to remember the information we're talking about right now. I need to remember this appointment that's supposed to happen. My mind seems to go, oh yeah, I'm just not gonna file that for you. We're gonna let that vaporize as soon as you walk away. The thing is, you and I have to control the information that comes into our life. Here's an important passage of scripture. 1 John 2:29 says this, if you know that He, God, is absolutely righteous, then you know for certain, this is out of the Amplified Version, that everyone who practices righteousness, and that means doing what is right and conforming to God's will. So marry those two things together. You don't know what's right. I don't know what's right. But when we do the will of God, we know that what we're doing is right. If you know that that He is absolutely righteous, then you know for certain that everyone who practices righteousness, doing God's will, has been born of Him. So here's what that says. If Jesus was right with God because of how Jesus lived His life, then you and I can absolutely be right with God, righteous in the way we think and in the way we act when we do what Jesus did. So we've got to shift our thinking from, I'm good enough, to am I God enough? In other words, am I behaving like God enough in this moment? Am I responding like Christ would respond? Am I thinking like Christ would speak? Am I loving like Christ would love? Am I reaching out? Am I ministering? Am I healing? Am I feeding? Am I doing all the things that Christ did? Am I bringing healing and peace and reconciling? Am I living like Christ? Now I'm going to close with this passage of scripture. Jesus wrote this to the Philippian church in the city of Philippi. And he said this. Paul wrote this, pardon me, to the church in Philippi. My passion is to be consumed with Him and not clinging to my own righteousness, he puts it in quotation marks, based in keeping the written law. In other words, I can follow all the rules. I can use the Old Testament law and I can follow every single rule. I'm not going to try and achieve righteousness that way. But my righteousness will be His based on the faithfulness of Christ, the very righteousness that comes from God. Listen, I want to tell you how you get filled. I want to tell you how you get in your right mind and your righteous mind. I want to tell you how you live a life that you are satisfied with every decision you make, with every choice you make, with every reaction that you have, with every feeling that goes through you. You filter it through this. Am I living in the power of my own righteousness? And you will be constantly defeated and discouraged if you are. You're going to feel like there is just no way to please God. And you're absolutely 100% right. You can't please God in your own righteousness. That is the whole gift of the cross, is that Jesus came so that you and I would not have to stand before God in our own righteousness, but rather that God would see us through His righteousness. That's the hope for you today. Not the circumstances around you, not improving moments or improving circumstances around you. The hope is that you walk and live and think and breathe and speak and act in the righteousness of God. Stir that hunger in you, because those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. God bless you guys. Thank you. Hang on for just another minute. We're going to switch gears and I'm going to come right back to you with a little bit of information about what it's going to look like in the next few weeks. God bless you guys.